breaking records in the city where I live. Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. Breaking Records, episode number 4. And I'm your host, Kelly K. Fresh Frazier. The guest on this episode is Steve Tucker, vocalist and bassist of the legendary death metal band Morbid Angel, who are currently about to embark on a month-long U.S. headlining tour in support of their Kingdom's Disdain full-length album released back in 2017 via Silver Lining Music. This tour, titled the 2019 USA Sickness Tour, begins on November 21st in Houston, Texas, and runs through December 21st in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And on this tour, Morbid Angel's bringing along Swedish black metal practitioners Watain and American death metal veterans Incantation. And during our talk, we just talk about, you know, everything in regards to touring, to the legacy and the longevity of Morbid Angel, and just, you know, how, you know, in their fan base, you know, we just kind of have a cool conversation about, you know, why Morbid Angel has been able to stick around for so long and still kick ass. Well, without further ado, let's get into the interview with Steve Tucker of Morbid Angel. Yeah, this fall you guys are going to be going out on this really awesome tour. You know, speak more about the tour that you're going on.
Oh, we're going out with we're bringing out Watain and Incantation, man. I think it's going to be a pretty ornery night at every show. So yeah, it'll be cool, man. Watain's pretty their live show is pretty badass. Incantation, man, they're old friends of ours, so it's going to be a great tour.
You know, being around as long as you guys have, you know, how do you feel like these days the appreciation for the music that you guys do is like in North America?
Man, actually, honestly, it's surprising just how much, support there is, how much of a following there actually is. I mean, death metal has been around over 30 years now, dude. That to me is just incredible. I never expected that. Something I guess I never even really truly thought about, you know. But yeah, man, it's hard to believe that, you know, a band like Morbid Angel, Cannibal Corpse, you know, these bands have been going, you know, longer than bands like Led Zeppelin ever wished to have went. You know what I mean? The longevity is ridiculous, and I think that it just has to do with the fans, man. I think it's a lot of it, man. You know, it catches people when they're young, man, and it sticks to them, you know. And that's really why I think it lasts as long as it does.
I know there's always ups and downs when it comes to doing heavy music in regards to its popularity. How did you guys, you know, just sort of swim during those muddy waters?
Man, I think first of all, you know, originality kind of set Morbid Angel apart, along with some other bands. You know, when a genre first starts, I think that, you know, there's originators, and then there's sort of people that come along and, sort of mimic that. And, you know, but there's always like new originators coming along. And I just really think that's what it is. I think Morbid Angel is a very original band. And I think that it's like, it's been imitated a lot. And, but to be honest with you, no one quite ever does it like Morbid does it, man. And I just think for that, it's made Morbid Angel lucky enough to sort of have a good following the entire time. I mean, you know, something about heavy music is that it's about angst. And I mean, there's never been a time, you know, in my entire lifetime in the United States of America where I didn't know, angst around me, man. People, you know, it's a, you know, life's not the simple pleasures they claim it is.
Yeah, going into making music, because you guys have always continued to put out albums, you know, what did you always want your fans to get out of a Morbid Angel, you know, record, especially when you're talking about that angst?
Well, I think angst is the initial thing. That's the thing that I think initially comes along. But with Morbid, I think, you know, a lot of people have recognized the fact that, you know, Morbid Angel is very classical music influence, you know, and I think that there are a lot of bands now, you know, that are, but like, I think that that quality is something that, you know, when you can be that creative with music, you can actually start to cause a vibe. You start to, you know, sort of cause a vibe. You make your own environment. When people are listening to it, they sort of all fall into, you know, that realm. I mean, And that's just what I think, that it's always just been there, man. I think that vibe that's created, you know, not all bands can do it. Some people put together a bunch of songs, and it's a bunch of songs. Some people put together a vibe. And I think Morbid Angel put together a vibe, you know.
You know, extending on that, you know, how do you keep the passion alive, like yourself and with the whole band, to want to continue to make new records?
Well, I mean, you know, there's... I mean, it's not like it's digging holes, man. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you're claiming to be burnt out on music, you're kind of an asshole. You know what I mean? In my opinion. You know, I mean, honestly, it's not digging holes, dude. I also do carpentry, and let me fucking tell you, I'll trade making music for carpentry any day of the week, man. One is a total pain in the back, while the other one is, you know, creative, you know, magic. You know what I mean? You take nothing and you make music. You know, it's kind of a badass thing to do, man, in my opinion, and I've always felt that way. So, you know, to me, if you're that angst-ridden about it, you're just a fucking asshole deep down inside, and I mean, that's just all it's to it, you know?
When you kind of look back at all these years, you know, that Morbid Angel existed, you know, what sort of sticks out to those, like, early years of, like, when this band is just starting off the ground, you know?
I wasn't in Morbid the first few years it existed, man, but, you know, in 97, when I first, 96, 97, whatever that was, I can't really remember, when I first joined the band, man, you know, it was a time where everybody was saying, oh, man, death metal is peaked, it's dead, death metal's dead, and there were bands that were quitting, Obituary was quitting, Malevolent Creation, all these bands were quitting and just kind of dropping off the face of the earth, unfortunately, because so many people were claiming it to be dead. And to be honest with you, we ended up making, that's when we made Formulas, which now a lot of people consider a pretty legendary album. You know what I mean? And it just proved that it wasn't dead. It's just that people really started to be more picky, man. You know, you get 10,000 bands that are similar to five bands, you know, and then people start to get really picky about what bands they want to see or listen to or whatever. And honestly, you know, a lot of bands just start dropping off. And, you know, with Morbid, I think, has always been pushing the boundaries. So, it's you know, for us, it was just an opportunity to really bring whatever death metal fans are still there, man, make something brilliant for them. And, you know, that's really what we did. I mean, dude, the first tour I did, it was, you know, two or three bands on a bus and, you know, pretty rough, man, going around Europe, freezing fucking cold and everything, man, and not really knowing what to expect, you know what I mean? It all ended up brilliant. It was all brilliant, dude. I mean, I made lifelong friends on that tour and, you know, froze my ass off, got sick as hell, but did some of the best shows maybe I've ever done in Morbid Angel on that tour, you know?
At that time when you guys dropped Formulas, what do you feel like about that record, you know, stood out? You know, why did you guys stand out at that time?
Man, really, honestly, that record, the intensity of that record, everything, the vibe of that record, everything comes down to Trey, bro. Trey had reached a point, man, where he really felt like, you know, while the band seemed to be kind of going in one direction, sort of becoming less underground, he really felt like he wanted to do maybe his most extreme album that he'd ever done. Because, like, you know, when the first albums come out, they're considered ultra extreme because nobody's ever heard anything like this. Yeah. Here you are, you know, like 8 years later, your skills, your ability to write music is far superior to what it was on the first album. You know, and I mean, and your thinking, your focus, everything is much more clear because you've been doing it. You've been part of this machine for years. And I think during formulas, man, that guy was so fucking focused that it just became a monster, man. And I mean, like, I literally tried to do everything Trey asked me to do on that album, vocally and on bass, to make it what he wanted, because he was so passionate about his dream, this vision of what he had. And to be honest with you, as soon as the album came out, people latched right onto it, dude. People seemed to tap right into his vision of what that album should be, the vibe it should express, and the you know, the power and the angst, you know, all of that, you know, drawn together, and it worked, man. And what I really think it was just the man was so driven. And I, of course, was driven. I was new to the band. You know, I wanted to do a great album. I don't want to be a part of anything that's crap. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, man, it was a lot of pressure on everybody, and everybody stepped up. And you know, to coin a phrase, everybody hit the bottom of the park, man. And it ended up being an album that a lot of people still to this day, you know, really, really love that album.
During that time, when the band is sort of on this ascension, you know, how do you not, you know, go the safe path? And like you said, you guys went the extreme path.
Because, you know, it's dude, I think that's just the original mentality, man. I think that's that the mentality that, man, you know, from the get-go, it was always just, we're going to do it our way. I mean, always. It's always been like that. I mean, there's a Morbid Angel album out there that a lot of people, they run their mouth on and things like that. And to be honest with you, it's not one of my favorite albums. But the truth about it is, man, it's still Morbid doing whatever the fuck they want to do, man. You know what I mean? And that's the thing about Morbid Angel. I think, you know, it's always something different, man. And that's not an accident, man. I mean, it's a band that really doesn't want to repeat ourselves. This is a band that, you know, the people involved are always trying to find something new about their instrument and playing and things like that, you know? So it's always about experimenting, man. And like, I think that, you know, that honestly, I think that's really kind of the thing that's, it's been good for Morbid to be so original, I think, you know?
Where does this sort of courage with the band come from to where, yes, we're going to do whatever the fuck we want to on each record. And, you know, our track record is, it might, you know, it'll probably work. But, you know, there's at times where, hey, maybe some of our fans won't like it as much as the previous record.
I mean, there's always that, dude. There's always fans that only like one album or don't think the band's been as good since demos or something. You know, there's always that, and it's that way with every single band that exists. I'm that way myself with bands. I like Metallica up to a certain album, and then I don't give two fucks what they're done since. You know what I mean? And that's not an insult. I love Metallica. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, I love them. What they did up until that certain point for me was magic, man. It was incredible, man. They actually went from being, you know, one of the most underground bands in the world to the biggest band in the fucking planet. I have no idea how it happened, but I watched it all. You know what I mean? And like, I really don't care what they did after that, though. You know, and I understand that, dude. You know, with you know, Van Halen, man. Nobody, I didn't give a fuck about Van Halen after David Lee Roth. You know what I mean? So I get, you know, people drop off at different stages, dude. You know, there's always the people that you meet that say, oh, metal. Huh. Yeah, I used to like metal when I was a kid, or I used to like metal when I was a teenager, or whatever. And it's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of people worldwide, dude, that it is not just a short-term little obsession. It's something that it's been a part of their life, their entire fucking life. And I'm one of those people. You know what I mean? And I think so is everyone that's pretty much around the band, you know?
You know, for you guys, once you're going into making a new record, what sort of, like, the mind state of the band, you know, what do you guys do, you know, just sort of those beginning stages of making a new record?
Man, we kind of separate, you know, kind of all go our own separate ways and kind of get in our comfort zones and start working. I mean, dude, you know, this day and age, I've been working now on computers recording music since, you know, Carl Sanders from Nile introduced me to computer recording, man, I think in around 1999, sometime before Gateways was recorded and all the demos for Gateways were done. So I've been writing music using a computer as my tape deck for you know, quite a number of years now. So same with Trey, man. Trey actually is the first dude I ever seen programming drums MIDI on a PC. You know, I know a lot of people using drum machines and things like that, sequencers, you know, but he was programming things all the way down to every single cymbal hit, every single roll, everything just as he would want it, you know. And honestly, I took from there, I started doing that myself, you know what I mean? And still doing that. Trey does that. So that essentially that's the starting point, man. We go and come up with ideas, and by coming up with an idea, usually it's, you know, maybe a opening riff and a verse riff, and maybe a, you know, something like that, you know, a couple, three or four riffs together, and maybe with drums on them, just to sort of get the idea of where it's going, and that's where we start, dude. And the rest of it is really not very predictable how it can finish. You know, a lot of Trey stuff he wants to finish on his own 100%, you know, and things like that. Myself, I actually like people to start adding things. It depends, man. It could be working with the drummer and the drummer saying, man, what I think right here we should do a section like this, and it sparks an idea and the song goes there. On the last album, me and Scotty wrote a couple of songs actually in the rehearsal room during the rehearsals for the album. That ended up getting on the album. So, I mean, you never really fucking know how songs are going to be written. But in general, we separate and everybody starts kind of getting their initial ideas together on their own, you know? Right.
You know, at times there can be a lot going on with, you know, just death metal songs in general. You know, how much thought goes on to, hey, how the hell are we going to perform these songs?
Man, never in the past. I have to say, these days, I'm starting to think, man, why the fuck do I abuse myself so badly? You know, I really, honestly, I've asked my friends, what the fuck is it about me that made me get in music that makes me physically work so hard? You know, I mean, dude, if you compare it to a lot of music, my hands are fucking, you know, they're going to the gym for a couple hours a day. You know what I mean? They're getting a workout. And like, I don't know, man. I think it's a hard-headedness about me. Actually, your earlier question, what makes you hang in and just do your thing the whole time? Same exact thing, dude. That's down to personal people, man. You know, that's down to people. That's down to being self-driven and believing in yourself and just also being hard-headed and not really giving a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, about other people's opinion, because you think, hey, if I like it, it's badass, you know? So a lot of that and more of an angel, you know?
How do you keep your, like, physical health in, you know, check when, like you said, you're doing a lot of work?
Man, it, you know, honestly, we're getting ready to do a winter tour, and it's a lot harder in the winter. You know, in the summertime, you know, I mean, it's not as bad. The big thing about touring, man, you know, is meeting people, shaking hands, things like that, dude. You don't know where that person's been. You don't know who they've shook hands with. You don't know when the last time they washed their hands. And I mean, I might be sounding like a germaphobe, but it's no big secret of science that this is how germs are spread. You know, pardon me. So, you know, often, you know, you'll get in wintertime, you know, you shake people's hands and stuff, forget to wash your hands. Somebody always gets sick on the bus, dude. You know, it never fails. One person gets sick, and then pretty much in an incubator. You know what I mean? So if someone gets sick, you're going to get sick. So it's inevitable. You just do the best. I mean, man, I don't eat triple cheeseburgers and chili every day. I try and eat, you know, decent meals, you know, try to drink a lot of fluids and things like that. A lot of fucking coffee is really what it is. But, like, just, man, you do your best. I mean, dude, it gets, obviously, as you get older, it gets more and more difficult. You know, you have more and more aches and pains. Like I said, dude, I'm also a carpenter, so, you know, I also have the amount of times that some asshole dropped a board on me that kind of, you know what I mean?
Right.
Times, man. You know, so it's, I don't know, man. I'm just hard headed. I love doing it. And that's why I do it. But you wonder, is it necessary? And I really don't know. This is just the way that I write music.
So it's been, you know, almost 2 years since Kingdom's Disdain came out. You know, any plans for a new record coming up?
Oh, we're not talking about it right now, man. I mean, we're still doing shows, and Morbid's always kind of takes a little bit of time between albums. You know, I think between the last two was the quickest turnaround of many, many years for Morbid. But Yeah, I mean, it's not really a rush, dude. I mean, I'd rather tour, you know, another year and a half or so, and then go into an album. You know what I mean? I'm really not that interested in going right back into the studio. You know, when you go, you know, the studio is its own fucking nightmare, man. You know what I mean? And it's not the reward of playing music. It's not, you know, going out and doing shows and things. Those are the rewards of playing music, and you get to have a little bit of fun, you know, in front of people and show off your skills or whatever, you know. But like, yeah, man, being in the studio and somebody saying do it again 27 fucking times in a row, that's no reward, man. That's a pain in the ass, you know what I mean? So I'm in no big rush to run over to the studio again.
When you put out music, when you put out music like when you put out Kingdom's Disdain, how quickly does your, you know, audience sort of latch on to the new music? You know, how accepting is your fans to the new music that you guys put out?
You know, Morbid's always weird. You know, it's always one of those things where I think it always takes most Morbid Angel songs, not everyone, take multiple listens before you really start to grab it. The thing with it is a lot of Morbid's fans, especially, you know, longtime fans, they sit down usually, dude, and absorb it. You know, by that, I mean, they put themselves in front of the speakers, in the headphones, whatever it is, that how they like to do it in their car, however it is they like to do it, dude, and they absorb it, man. They listen to kind of opinions. You know, sometimes they're too loud, sometimes blah, blah, blah. But, you know, generally they absorb it. And I think they understand, like I said earlier, about the vibe thing, that, you know, Morbid is about a vibe, too. So they allow, you know, that vibe to come over them. And then they make their decisions from there, dude. And I think a lot of them, you know, they take the time to let the stuff really catch them. I mean, Morbid's never just been a very old 4-4 band. It's always been a band with broken up times and weird weird meters and shit. So it's one of those things that I think they kind of expect it to be a little complicated, you know?
You know, when you're touring an album like you still are with Kingdom's Disdain, you know, what is it about, you know, like how much of a new album do you put into the set each time, you know, and why do you feel like you can, you know, still tour off an album, you know, even 2 years later, and you even said, I still want to do another year or so, maybe.
Man, you know, because the songs are complex and the songs are long. So, like, you know, we already have, the band's existed for almost 30 years. There's 10 albums or something like that out there. And, like, I mean, there's literally just a shitload of songs to choose from. And honestly, man, what it comes down to with us, a lot of it's about, man, what's exciting for us right now? You know, what feels exciting to play? What are you excited to play right now? And, you know, a lot of time when the album first comes out, dude, we tend to pick our favorite songs off of that album. And each tour, there may be a different couple, but usually there's a couple that it's, you know, that stick. And then eventually what ends up happening, man, is we end up sort of weeding through them, dude, and bringing other songs from other albums in and out and things like that. I mean, it's honestly, man, it's one of those situations where you're never really going to be able to completely satisfy the crowd of everybody hearing their favorite song, because the career has been pretty long at this point. And like, you know, it's like, a lot of times just because it was your favorite song doesn't mean it's our favorite song. You know what I mean? Like, there's a song off of Gateways. For me, it's always been one of my favorite songs and we play it live, but I'm not sure that it's one of the fans' favorite songs. It's a song called Ageless Still I Am. And it's a really complex, weird flowing song. And I totally get why for some it might throw them for a loop, but I do know a lot of people like it, you know? So, but you know, it's one of those songs that we absolutely love to play, man. Trey loves to play it. I love to play it. And you know, the other guys have learned to love it too, you know? So we do, but you know, at the same time, you have to remember, man, that almost every single once a year, minimally for the past 30 some years, Trey has gone on tour with Morbid Angel, and Trey has played certain songs almost every single one of those tours. So right now there have been a couple older songs that we had quit doing, and we're slowly starting to bring older songs back into the set now. But you know, there the first couple of tours, I think we were doing five of the new songs, something like that. Yeah. And I mean, the reason we want to do new songs is, dude, we're not just kind of calling it in. We're doing an album of songs that we love, we believe in, you know? Pardon me, man. I have like this allergy thing going on.
It's all good.
But, you know, I mean, when the album first comes out, it's like, hey, man, these are all of our favorite songs from this album, and we're playing them. But gradually it seems to go on, and less three songs or so might stick from each album, you know what I mean?
And before I let you go, you know, I always like to ask this question. You know, what's sort of a nugget of knowledge, you know, a lesson that you've learned over the years from your life and career that anybody listening to this, it doesn't matter what avenue of artistry that they're in, they could project into their own lives?
Man, doing things for yourself, working for yourself, being in a band, being an artist, it's the hardest possible route that you can take. But absolutely, like you think it will be, it's also the absolutely most rewarding thing that you can do. So I think that, man, if anything, people, especially artists, hang in there. Keep fucking doing it, man. Keep going. You know what I mean? Eventually, somebody's going to dig your shit.
Awesome. All right, man. It's been great talking with you. Where can people go online to get more information about Morbid Angel?
All the familiar stuff, dude. Morbidangel.com. We have a Facebook. We have, I'm not sure about Twitter, but Instagram, like that. So, you know, hit Google and it'll find us for you.
Awesome, man. It's been great talking with you, and good luck on the tour and everything.
Have a great day, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Well, that was my interview with Steve Tucker of the legendary death metal band Morbid Angel. More information and links to where you can purchase tickets for the 2019 USA Sickness Tour and where you can follow Morbid Angel online will be in the show notes for this episode at freshthepodcast.com. And just another reminder that I have two other podcasts that I do. Fresh is the Word, that's my lifestyle / pop culture podcast. And then I also have my Detroit music podcast called Renaissance Soul. Pretty much you can stream those anywhere, and more information, like always, is at freshthepodcast.com. And also, if you want to support or donate to the podcast, you can always go to freshthepodcast.com, and at the top, there's a link that says support the podcast, where you can donate via PayPal, or I'm on Patreon at patreon.com/freshisthword. And there's so many other ways that you can support that are free. You can share a link, go on any of our social media and follow, like, comment. You know, just as long as you pass the word around, that would be awesome. So once again, go to freshthepodcast.com and click on the support the podcast link at the top. And there's all sorts of suggestions for, you know, helping me out with all the, I do three podcasts. So any help, whether it's sharing or donating, would be great. All right. Thank you for listening once again. I'm going to be dropping a bunch of podcasts coming up. This week, later on, I'm going to have the second Renaissance Soul podcast, and it's going to be the 25th anniversary of the Detroit rock band Sponge and their Rotten Pinata album. So I talked to the lead singer Vinny Dombrowski about the whole album. We get into the nuts and bolts of it all. So go check that out. You know, always stay tuned at freshthepodcast.com. So thank you for listening. Goodbye and good night. Breaking records in the city where I live.